In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. I had the privilege about 30 years ago to spend a whole month on a course at a St. George's College in Jerusalem. The course was entitled The Lands of the Bible. And there were about 30 of us, an ecumenical group of clergy and lay people. It was very well taught and an exciting time. We visited all the classic Christian sites around Jerusalem, Bethlehem and Galilee, as well as many more associated with the Old Testament. For me, the heights of the visit was the 4 days we spent in the Sinai Peninsula of Egypt. That part of the course was called In the Steps of the Patriarchs. And that visit included climbing Mount Sinai itself and a visit to the 4th century St. Catherine's Monastery at its base. That part of the world is that part of the world is all desert, sand and rock, rock and sand, and surprisingly mountainous. The 30 of us travelled in four-wheel drives across the roadless desert landscape with slightly crazy, daredevil Egyptian drivers. We slept under the stars the first night, lying on the warm sand under the dazzling sky, an unforgettable experience in itself. The second day, we headed for an oasis where we were to have lunch. And crossing the hot sand, it was hard to envision an oasis at all. But sure enough, as we headed down a valley about the middle of the day, there it was, palm trees and shade and, of course, water. And as we approached, we saw animals, mainly goats, and then some children came running towards us. But only as we arrived under the shade of the palm trees, the shy Bedouin men and women appeared from the deep shade. We had provided our own simple lunch of olives and tomatoes and some sodas, but the highlight of the lunch was the flat, coarse pita bread, which the women prepared for us on small open fires on the sand. It was bread like you have never tasted. Warm, slightly crunchy, and ever so welcome. It completed our modest lunch. The Bedouin hospitality was simple, but almost miraculous. There we were in the wilderness, receiving bread which satisfied our hunger. On we drove that day until we reached the foothills of Mount Sinai, which rose darkly high above us. Once again, we camped in the open in preparation for our morning climb. We rose at about 4 a.m. and we set out. Some of the women of our party rode camels for the first part of the journey. And shall I ever forget the vision of camels swaying in the moonlight? It was quite romantic. The moonlight gave way to the pink dawn, and then by arrangement we halted for some breakfast and to celebrate the Eucharist. We stopped at a place called Elijah's Plain, opposite the cave where Elijah encountered God in the still small voice. For some reason I was honoured to be the celebrant of the Eucharist that day. I was just a humble priest in those days. I'm not sure about the humility. And I chose the propers for the Feast of the Transfiguration, which we celebrated last Friday. How extraordinary it was to have Moses and Mount Sinai on one side, as it were, and Elijah and his cave on the other. Before the Eucharist, I consulted with our Episcopal Service Corps intern about the service. Yes, he says, we have a stole. Yes, we have wine. And there is enough of the Bedouin bread left over to provide for the Eucharist. The leftovers of the Bedouin hospitality would become for us the bread of heaven, holy food, the body of Christ. To say that the Eucharist was memorable is an understatement, but to prevent us being totally carried away, God provided some very noisy young Korean pilgrims who were descending the mountain from experiencing the dawn at the summit. They seemed totally oblivious to our holy gathering. From feeling resentful at first at their intrusion, I was reminded of Peter's response at the Transfiguration, how he tried to enshrine the moment. Remember, he wanted to build shrines for them all. He wanted to hold on to the moment. Rather, you remember, Jesus led the disciples down the mountain into the midst of the hurly-burly of the plain below. Of course, that amazing experience gave rise to so many biblical images, the children of Israel receiving manna from heaven to alleviate their hunger. He gave them bread from heaven. And of course, the feeding of the 5,000, upon which the whole of John chapter 6 is based, from where our gospel came today. Both incidents point to the prodigal hospitality of God. God cares for and feeds his people. In the Exodus passage, if you remember, he provided sufficient for each day, food that perishes except on the Sabbath. There was enough for 2 days. But Jesus provides food for all at the feeding of the 5,000 with 12 baskets of leftovers for future needs. Like you, I love leftovers. They're usually more delicious than the original servings. But I've thought so much about that Bedouin hospitality, how it gave rise to our Eucharistic bread. They provided generously for our party with leftovers that sufficed to feed us with holy food the next day. Returning to John 6, Jesus engages the crowd about Moses and the manna feeding, pointing out that it was not Moses who actually made the provision, but God himself providing bread from heaven. And then we come to today's gospel, when in the opening sentence, Jesus, as it were, ups the ante by proclaiming, "I am the bread of life," which becomes the first of Jesus' great "I am" sayings in St. John's gospel. It is that radical identification of Jesus with the heavenly bread, which caused consternation with his critics. John's first and pejorative use of the Jews needs to be commented upon. Undoubtedly, by the time John's gospel was written, the antagonism between synagogue and church was at its height. But given the shameful history of anti-Semitism by the church for much of its history, Christian scholars and leaders today have agreed that this phrase, "the Jews," refers not to all Jews, but given that Jesus and all the disciples were Jews, and all the crowd who gathered for the feeding of the 5,000 were Jews, but rather to the religious authorities who felt particularly threatened by Jesus' teaching. And of course, the critics complain, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph?" In other words, how can he possibly claim to have heavenly origins? But of course, we know much more than that. We know that Jesus' paternity is somewhat more complicated. After all, we come to the Christmas Mass every year to celebrate the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh, and dwelt among us. Then Jesus amplifies his statement, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Once again, Jesus takes the radical step, not only of affirming the incarnation, but points towards his death on the cross. And in a sense, it's only as we enter into the mystery of that death and resurrection of Christ in sacramental form, in baptism, and in the Eucharistic bread and wine, that we partake of heavenly food, food for the journey, food to sustain and strengthen us, and that we find the path to glory. You may well be thinking about the Eucharist in which we participate this morning. John 6 is extraordinarily Eucharistic in that it brings together so many Eucharistic images. From God's feeding of the children of Israel in the wilderness with the bread from heaven, to the prodigal hospitality of the feeding of the 5,000 also in the wilderness, where there was food for all and leftovers galore, to Jesus' offering of his body and blood on the cross to bring about our reconciliation with God and each other, to this Eucharist initiated for us by Christ at the Last Supper, where we receive his body and blood, which gives us the foretaste of God's glory in the face of the crucified one, food that points to the heavenly banquet and is ultimately to life eternal. But don't forget, the bread and wine which will become for us the body and blood of Christ today in this Eucharist, through the Eucharistic action, that bread and wine was provided by us. It's our hospitality. We opened the doors, we issued the invitation, we provided the venue, we provided the bread and the wine, but through the activity of God in Christ, it is transformed to us into living bread, bread from heaven, which will sustain us until we reach our glorious home. Amen.